Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
You don't understand. This is an Araya.
How can you think that I'm her dad when we both look exactly the same age?
We do not look the same age.
I was being kind. Wait, I'm going to hypnotize him.
I hereby christen this button Barbie camper Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Pop Goes the Tam Tam. I thought it would take a bit longer, but no, we've already got an update on the Haz, Zaz storyline, Zah, whatever you want to call it. So last week, I was joined by a very special guest, Tamsin's mum, and we made some predictions about what the hell is going on with Haz. You can listen to those predictions with the magic of editing now.
So, turns out that both Jane and Aaron were victims of this AI fiend. But double turns out, the AI fiend was probably Haz. I personally was baffled as to why Haz would be targeting Jane and Aaron. But you have a theory, so let's tell the audience what it is.
I wonder if Haz is so vindictive that he is trying to get back at Aaron and Jane, because before David died, Aaron and David were talking to Leo and they were going to move back into the house that they'd lived in before, that they'd sold to Leo, and they were going to buy it back from him. And I wonder if it's some sort of resentment thing.
And we have some theories. We haven't looked ahead at what's going on next week, but we've got some theories we're going to put to the dear listeners.
Hang on a minute. You can look forward to what happens next week?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because there are spoilers online.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah. Okay. So, haven't looked at any of the online spoilers.
I want to look now.
Well, okay.
You go first.
So my theory, and I originally presented this to you with finger puppets, but I don't, this is not a video podcast, so now I'm going to have to actually speak those words.
One's a dragon and one's a horse.
So my theory is that a couple of weeks ago, Byron let slip that Haz has a brother that Mackenzie didn't know about, but Byron did. They're cementing the bro love between Byron and Haz, who truly know each other. So my theory is that it was Haz's twin brother who did over the coffee shop and sent him that video. I think that backfired on him because I think his twin went beaty, beaty, smashy, smashy, lock you in a cupboard, a la Home and Away style. I think real Haz is chained to a radiator somewhere. And I think this is now crazy fake Haz.
Or he's in a container in the bush.
Now, I thought that was interesting because when I saw that, I thought, oh, Haz is some sort of tech bro who burnt out during COVID and decided, I'm going to start a coffee shop.
Or he's on the run from some crypto criminal thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully, I pulled my finger out and actually edited something into that. If not, try to imagine what we might have said. To discuss the ever-changing tapestry of what the hell's going on with Haz, I am, of course, joined by a very special guest, the sleuth-in-chief. Announce yourself, special guest.
Hello, it's me, Tamsin's mum.
Hello, Tamsin's mum. Thank you for joining me at this secret rendezvous. We're hiding in a black box away from any tech so that Haz doesn't get us or his evil tech bros. Because that's right, we actually got one of the theories correct. Haz does have a split personality. No. He was a tech bro.
He was. A bad one.
A bad one.
Well, bad insofar as what he was doing in the way of tech was not good.
Yeah, he wasn't just bad at tech like us.
No. Bad at tech.
Well, you're good at tech.
I don't even know their spoilers.
Oh, no, but that's not tech, is it?
Oh, no, that's true.
you're actually good at tech because I often text you and be like, help me, I can't turn this on.
Oh, that's true.
And you are like, let me check.
I like problems.
You do. So, what did you think of the reveal?
Well, I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think the funny thing is that yesterday, which is Thursday, I was chatting to you before I was getting my train to go to work on the phone. And I should have just said I was chatting to you on the phone. Anyway, we were chatting and I said, I reckon that Haz is actually some sort of crypto bro or some sort of IT bro and has ended up in this situation because he's either got some crypto key that he won't give people or something like that. And I thought it was interesting because it's almost there. But what kind of confused me to some extent is why do the people that he was working with, why do they care? I guess it's because he destroyed their system and they've been after him. We look back at where this all started. It started when Harold's won that award for having the most dog hair and food ever. But that's obviously how these people found him, because his name was searchable. He's kept the name of Harold's. There's not a lot to link him to where he works or even where he is, really.
That's true.
However, he emerged.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't. It would make more sense if he had some sort of code or password to Crypto Millions and he refused to give it over.
Or he just pinched all their money.
Well, that's the same thing, isn't it? We also correctly guessed that Haz had put listening devices on Byron and Mackenzie's phones to keep them safe, which is what he had done.
That's a bit unbelievable, though, isn't it? I mean, the reasoning behind that's quite obscure.
I think it was so that Mackenzie finally put the pieces into place, and so that there was a massive red herring for the audience as well, because we were led to think that Haz was actually doing all this. Yes, he was. He did put malware on some of the devices. But we were completely wrong about the reasons why Aaron and Jane were being targeted, and it turns out that they were being targeted because they were in that Instagram photo with Haz, which somebody put online, I think it was Holly. And so whoever is behind this was working to turn everyone against Haz. But that only really made sense if any of them sort of knew that he had done it in the first place. But there was no sort of fingerprint on it that anyone would go, oh, I think Haz, my next door neighbour, did an AI of me giving fellatio to a banana. Yeah.
What is the ultimate point of doing this to these random people? If these cyber crimes took place over 2 years ago, whilst Haz was at university, surely the people that would have been targeted would have been his family, because they would have been known to the students, and the criminals could have got access to the names and addresses of the parents through the students that were involved in this crime. It seems a bit far-fetched.
Yeah, I mean, I also thought about that, but we had a line in it where Haz basically explained that his parents, his brother and his sister, have cut all contact away from him. They don't see him anymore. So that may well have happened.
What did you think of Mackenzie's reaction?
So all I wanted for her to do was go to the police. Because it's interesting that we've got yet another storyline that's like this. And when I say yet another, this is kind of like the Melanie storyline, where she had this secret criminal past that we didn't know anything about. Mm. She certainly was not keeping a low profile when she was running around cackling around Lassiter's, you know. And I mean, she worked in so many different solicitors' offices. At no point did anyone do a DBS check on all her other names. It's like, this is wild. But anyway, the reason why I raise the Melanie Toadie storyline is because Mel left the street for two reasons.
One, because the children were in danger, and two, because she couldn't tell Toadie that she was a fugitive from the law, because he's a solicitor, and his only options would have been to either collude with her and end his career, and potentially look at jail time, with their children probably being taken into care, or he would have had to have marched her down to the police station and turned her in.
Yeah.
Neither of which he would have wanted to do. He would have tried to have helped her.
Yeah.
And that would have caused everything for them to unravel.
Yeah.
However, Haz drops this bomb on lawyer Mackenzie like it's no big deal. Like he hasn't, like these crimes, she's now complicit in this.
Yeah.
Her not telling the police the minute she knew, she could lose everything from this. And he acted like it was no big deal.
Yeah. I mean, she would have absolutely no choice if she wanted to remain in law but to go to the police.
Exactly. I thought it was interesting. She had all that time away and I thought she's either gone to the police or she's thinking about going to the police or she's done some digging. And I thought the whole thing she was going to do is try and persuade him to give himself up and to roll over on these people. Yeah. I thought she was going to be like, listen, if you turn yourself in now, offer to give X amount of information, the whereabouts, where they last were, what's been going on, you could be looking at 9 months in prison.
Or even, I mean, let's face it, Ramsey Street, witness protection, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's where they go, isn't it?
Yeah. They all go into witness protection at one time or another.
Is Ramsey Street not holding pen for witness protection? I mean, there are people out there who still think Kate Ramsey's in witness protection. And obviously Aaron now thinks that David's in it as well.
Well, yeah, because Mark came back from the dead.
It's not death. It's witness protection. Dragging it back to Mackenzie as my neighbour shouts at the top of his lungs after a good day of work.
I'm not going to say anything.
Let's not say anything. It's been banging, hammering, sawing,
shouting.
I mean, whatever they're installing next door, they're not. It's not a great time for them. Anyway.
It's only when I come over.
I know. It's like, it's when you come over to do a podcast and they're like, she's here. Do you think they're doing a podcast? Let's just do it. So, dragging it back to Mackenzie. And has, I thought it was interesting when he got sent that email. Did you for one moment believe that she hadn't sent that email to Harlow about not loving him as much as she loved Hendrix?
She was lying.
I thought she was lying as well. I also wondered if part of the reason why has was so emotional is not just because Mackenzie has said that she'll never love him the way she loved Hendrix. I mean, they've only just started dating. It's a little bit extreme to think that he would even think, lots of thinks there, that she could possibly love him already as much as she loved her deceased husband. But I also think part of what was going on with Haz is the fact that the email mentioned Hendrix.
Do you think so?
Yes, because I think he would know that had there been some sort of AI created of Hendrix, that would finish Mackenzie.
How would they know about Hendrix?
Well, it wouldn't be that hard to find out who Hendrix was. They know that her name's Mackenzie Hargreaves. All you'd have to do is search Mackenzie Hargreaves Hendrix. It's quite an unusual name. And then that would bring up their wedding. It would bring up his obituary. You'd be able to get at least images of him. And then manipulate them however you want.
I think it would have been much easier if they just rubbished the cafe, put some dead rats in there or something, got some fake, you know, TripAdvisor reports or something. Because this is like, whoa.
But did they even need to do that? Because the cafe's covered in dog hair from Trevor.
Yeah.
Also, sidebar, we saw Trevor. He was in a photograph when Krista was having her meltdown. I spotted an image of Trevor. Trevor has not been sighted moving or in any of the scenes, but he was spotted in a photograph.
And why were there tablets in the cupboard, in the pantry?
Who puts tablets?
toilets in a pantry cupboard. Anyway, getting away from the last temptation of Krista. I'm TMing that. I thought there was a nice moment between Mackenzie and Haz when she sat on the sofa after trying to access his laptop and he comes in and they have that moment and he's standing behind her and she sat on the sofa. I got that he wanted to tell her what was going on and she wanted to hear it. She wanted him to tell her. And neither of them could bring themselves to directly reference what was going on. And I thought it was a nice bit of acting.
And I saw that completely differently.
Yeah, so what did you see it like?
I saw it as though she was sat there looking, pretending that she was watching the TV, blah, blah. And he was behind her, completely silent, directly behind her. She couldn't see him, but she knew he was there. And it was, I thought, he was being very menacing.
Mm.
You didn't see it like that at all?
No, I didn't see it like that at all, because he was so obviously behind her. And I just thought all it would take is for one of them to reach across, and they didn't. They couldn't bring themselves to do it. So before we make any more predictions about this storyline, I did want to mention something. So something that I discussed with Cy and Sophie from the Home and Away Coastal News podcast was diversity, in terms of the diversity we have on Neighbours and what we have on Home and Away, and that Home and Away appears to be less diverse. But they actually raised some interesting points that actually Home and Away is more representative of the community in which it takes place in. And similar to that, Neighbours is more representative of a cosmopolitan community. But something that they mentioned to me was about box ticking. Now, we're not a fan of that at all.
Not at all.
And I think in Neighbours, we have some box ticking going on with the character of Sam, who is Mike from Neighbours' daughter, who has Down syndrome.
Okay.
Sadly, she doesn't really appear in many scenes and she hasn't had a storyline of her own yet.
No, not at all.
And when you compare it to a lot of the Down syndrome actors that you have in this country, if you look at Call the Midwife and things like that, you know, they're holding their own storylines down.
Yeah.
But when we turn to the character of Mackenzie, who, dear listeners, if you don't watch Neighbours, you might not know, is a trans woman. I think the interesting thing about Mackenzie is, yes, when she first came on to Neighbours, a lot of her storylines were about trans and her sex realignment and things like that, and that she had the operation. But now, her storylines are about being a widow.
Mm.
They're about being a solicitor who works for the council. And now this huge storyline with Haz, and none of it has got anything to do with her being trans.
No.
Being trans is just taken. It's just one part of her identity and not the main part of her identity. Mm. And this is the sort of thing that I would like to see for Sam. I would like to see her become, have some storylines maybe with other Down syndrome actors.
Mm.
Or, like, we never see her in Lasseter's anymore because she used to work front of house. She used to do Chloe's job. And now she occasionally comes out of her room and that's it. And I'm like, no, justice for Sam.
It's a bit of a waste, isn't it?
It is a real waste. Yeah. And it does feel like
an exercise.
It does. Sadly, it does. And before we get on to any more predictions, I wanted to ask you, what do you think about some of the lengths of some of these storylines? Because to me, you've got storylines like the Love Triangle of Sadness, see that episode for details, and the Chelsea storyline that just feel like they're going on and on forever, even though we now know, or we're pretty sure, what the outcome will be.
Yeah.
I think that Toadie and Therese will get back together, and I think that Mel will leave.
With
the Chelsea storyline, I think that she will get found out. But I think by the time she gets found out, she will already be with child. And she will use that as leverage to protect herself. And I also think we're going to have a who's the daddy storyline, with Paul thinking that it is his baby and us knowing that it's probably the IT guy's baby.
And do you think there'll be some blackmail?
You think he's going to start blackmailing her, don't you?
I do.
And that's kind of an action replay of Izzy and Carl when she was pregnant the first time with Gus Cleary's baby and she pretended that it was Carl's.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think we're going to get a shade of that storyline again. Yeah, yeah. Or as some posh people might say, a reprise. So, rounding things up, getting to the end. Have we got any more predictions for what is going to happen?
Okay, with Haz. Well, there could be some sort of massive showdown with the criminals, with a hostage situation or something. Or these.
I did wonder hostage situation,
did
actually.
You?
Yeah. It feels like that's the box we haven't ticked yet.
That's true.
Yeah, there have been many famous sieges. Well, no, we did have a siege. We had the Eden Mel siege.
We did.
We've had a siege.
And the not a siege, but the Barga Murphy with the packet of powder.
Powder packet. Yes, Powdergate.
Powdergate. Crikey, we're getting a lot of gates. Banana gate, Powdergate.
Gate. Who left this gate open? Gate.
That's what happened to Trevor.
Trevor is deceased. So you think?
Yeah, I think. Going to be a massive showdown or a siege, or he's going to disappear.
Mm.
Or
disappearing would be good.
Mm.
Has
oh,
just
God, yeah. Sorry,
but I think Has just disappearing and no one knowing what's happened would be interesting. It does make you wonder why. I know he has this relationship with Mackenzie, but he must know that's dead in the water now. I did wonder why he just didn't take Trevor and leave.
Yeah. I mean, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think you would. I think you'd say, I've done enough damage around this popsicle stand. It's time for me to get out. Much love to you all.
I mean, if you were that terrified,
yeah,
you would do a Melanie. You'd just go.
Yeah, and I think, why is he now hanging around? I know that you could argue, oh, well, he's built this new life for himself and why should he run away? But the thing is, he did do this bad stuff.
And this the situation is inescapable. They know where he is. They know who he is. How do you get out of that? Okay, fake suicide. I don't know.
Well, it's not even like Melanie, where she got dragged into this from the whim of a teenage girl who she was trying to help. We know that Melanie isn't the sharpest tool in the tool shed. You know, all of that we've been told for quite a long time. So I could totally see why she tried to do these things to protect that girl. And the family had money and just went, you know what? Don't worry about it. You do you. He's actually done this stuff.
Yeah, he's a bad person.
Well, he's not a bad person. He's just somebody who took the money and didn't think twice about what he was actually doing. But you also raised an interesting thing, which is, what if it's not the criminals? What if it's the person he ruined the life of? So I wonder if they will resurface and it's actually them.
Yeah, because if you're going to list bad people, Nicolette's pretty bad.
Oh my God. Every week you take the opportunity to mention Nicolette.
Well, she's just got three. I don't understand. How can sell you a baby?
Well,
fine.
For me, it's more the fact that they went on that holiday to get away from her stalker, and that is the real reason why David died.
They've all forgotten that. They've got selective amnesia.
Yeah, I mean, people were blaming Paul, and yes, it was his fault. People were blaming Krista, and I didn't agree with that, because everyone's got some toxic ex somewhere that's out to, you know. So, but Nicolette was just, she's fine. The fact that we went to the cabin in the woods in the first place, she's good.
I've got a vendetta.
So I do wonder if it is going to be that person, the person who he ruined the life of, who is maybe going to say, listen, I need you to, you must change this. You must, you know,
so reverse the... justice.
Yeah, wants justice. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So something I wanted to address is the inevitable outcome of this storyline. So for me, it feels like once we finish this, Has kind of has to go. That rhymed.
He's going to go to jail with Felix. They're in jail together. They can talk about Ramsay Street.
I mean, if he's in jail, if he's dead.
Witness protection.
Witness protection. But how do they keep him around? And this kind of goes back to what we were saying about the length of some of these storylines and the fact that there are characters currently on the show who don't have any reason to be on there. I'm specifically, like we mentioned her before, Nicolette. Nicolette doesn't have a storyline.
Nicolette just chips in with comments to push a storyline along.
Yeah, but she doesn't have her own storyline. I think Aaron has not really got a lot to do. He had a lot when David died, but since then, not really very much. Mm. And also finally, and I'm sad to say this because I'm a fan of Mel, but it feels that way with Melanie as well. And I also hear tell that Harold is coming back. And you just find yourself thinking, we have seen what too many characters and not enough storylines has done to Hollyoaks. And they've actually decided to tackle it by doing a mass 20 character cull. And I just feel that Neighbours had the opportunity to start with a clean slate. And it feels at the moment that the slate is getting filled up with unnecessary clutter. So at the end of this, I think Has should be done. Mm. And it's quite sad because he came there to change his life. He met Mackenzie. It was all going well. But in the end, these things catch up with you. So if you've got nothing else, and I've got nothing else.
Crime doesn't pay.
I mean, crime obviously doesn't pay. Unless it does. I'm not quite sure what that means.
No, I don't know either.
Bye!